A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, welcome to the deep dive. It's Box Midfield time once again. It's me and it's Josh again. Not only have we looked at Man City's box midfield over the last couple of weeks, we've looked at Arsenal's box midfield over the last couple of weeks, and we get to look at Liverpool's box midfield over the weekend against Arsenal. Josh, you're here for this one. This is your show today. Liverpool set up in that 4-3-3 formation, but they didn't stay in that 4-3-3 formation, did they?
No, it was a surprise. Obviously, we know Arsenal have been doing it recently for most of the season. Actually, we know City have been doing it. And I don't know about you, I did not see it coming at all.
No, because for me, when we looked at how Liverpool dealt with Manchester City, and I think they did well in the first half tactically, second half it fell to pieces. When they were coming up against Arsenal, I expected them to do what they did against City. I think I sat here and said this to you last week, and tackle it that way. Yeah. Now, normally when we've seen Trent take a midfielder's position, we've actually kind of seen him here on the edge of the penalty area, and that's Trent moving into midfield. But it's completely different this time around, wasn't it? Because we moved him into this situation and spread the sort of defenders out a bit more like that, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, but I've seen a few people on Twitter saying that Trent's been inverting for like 12 months, 18 months and things like that.
He has,
but it's exclusively in the opposition's half in the final third, really. This is the first time that we've seen it really from Alisson, you know, from building the play. He moves over, tucks inside alongside Fabinho and forms a midfield too. Robertson tucks in alongside Virgil and Canate to form a back three. And there's your kind of like 3-2 shape at the back that you can build from. As a result of that, Henderson pushes up a little bit. Curtis Jones, it was on the day, pushes up a little bit. And you've got this kind of box midfield that we've been touching on as like a recurring theme for the past month. Salah stays wide as usual. Was it Jota over here?
Jota
stays really wide. But it was really interesting. And as I said, I didn't see it coming. And it benefited certain players more than others. But yeah, I'm sure we're going to get into it.
Yeah, I think one of the things, I read your article earlier on in the week, actually, I thought it was brilliant on it. And I think one of the things that I'd like to talk about, not to tread over your article too much, but is Henderson's positioning and what that meant for Mo Salah.
Yeah, well, that was kind of what I shaped the article around, the fact that Salah, without me even realising at the time, was breaking records in terms of like performance numbers. Salah, in the game, posted his most shots ever in a Premier League game with 9. 10 if you include the penalty. Mm-hmm. He also posted his most touches in a Premier League game all season. And he posted his joint most dribbles in a Premier League game all season.
Did he win any of them?
None.
How many was it?
He succeeded with none of 7.
Wow.
Which kind of, I mean,
Gabrielle was up against them, really,
fair play,
wasn't
Gabrielle, yeah. But there was one or two Rob Holdings in there and that, so we expect better from Mo there, to be honest, but those numbers kind of paint a picture as to like this was different than usual. And the reason it was different than usual is because obviously Trent is usually over there and you usually have that kind of thing going on. And you can deal with Liverpool's right side kind of as usual, as normal. Henderson would form these triangles with Salah over here. Trent would sometimes join in and Liverpool's 4-3-3 would work as it usually would on any normal day, really. But because of what happened, because Trent's tucking inside and consequently taking players with him, and Henderson's coming inside here rather than staying on the flanks and things like that, Salah kind of had the whole of the right side to himself almost. And as a result of that, he kind of like had a lot of passing lanes in his direction, Canate's first pass was often just straight down the line to Salah. There was no kind of like building through the thirds and like that. Henderson found him often from here. Trent found him often. Virgil hit a few diagonals in his direction. So I suppose in terms of tactics and getting your player on the ball as much as you possibly can, your best player on the ball as much as you possibly can, it really definitely did that.
Yeah. One of the things I want to talk to you about is, I don't know whether we should put the Arsenal players on the board for this, but why it worked against Arsenal, why specifically Mo Salah was able to get into that. Now, do you put it down to the fact that when out of possession, Arsenal go man-to-man?
Yeah.
And so let's say, should we put the players on the board?
Yeah, go on.
Right, we put the players on the board. Now, before we do that, it's probably best to visualise this with more than just magnets, what we're talking about. So we're going to put up a picture on the screen now, and you can see in this one, Trent Alexander-Arnold tucks inside, and you can see that midfield four that we've been talking about, with Trent Alexander-Arnold inside with Fabinho, and then Henderson pushing up, and in this instance, actually, it's Gakpo coming back in, but you can see Henderson tucking inside. If you move on to the second screenshot, you can see the back three there where Robertson is, Fabinho alongside Trent Alexander-Arnold, and Canate's positioning really wide as a wide-flanked sort of three at the back. So we'll come back onto it now, having shown you that Liverpool did this, if you didn't believe us. We've put Arsenal on the board. This week, Arsenal are green, Liverpool are red. For anybody who had a go at me last week, Josh, I'm talking to you. Tom, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, that commenter as well. Forget your name, apologies. So as you can see here, what we've done is we've put the greens as Arsenal. We've put a three at the back. We've put them with the box midfield. Zinchenko's sat inside alongside Thomas Partey. We've got Odegaard alongside Granit Xhaka. And then we've got their three forwards, obviously the three centre-halves and the goalkeeper at the back. Now, one of the things that I wanted you to explain, if possible, is why, when they track man-to-man, Mo Salah's got so much space.
Yeah, well, I think it's obviously defending, usually, we expected kind of them to defend out of a 4-3-3, despite kind of operating in this weird 3-2-5 system, really, when they've got the ball. So if they did that, Zinchenko would be the player who should have picked up Salah down here, and maybe that would have resulted in Salah having a bit more success in terms of his 1v1 duels. But Zinchenko instead picked up Henderson in here. And although that made sense in terms of a man-to-man thing, maybe Zinchenko was going to be able to deal with Henderson defensively better because he's not Mo Salah. But because he did that, Arsenal's left-back is going away from the left side of the pitch. He's going towards the middle. Gabriel's shuffling over.
And he's not going to want to go too far if Mo drops back, is he?
Who?
He's not going to follow him here, is he?
No, I mean, he did his best, and to be fair, he did have a strong game. And there was the odd moment where Salah did pick up the ball around here. Gabriel just went right through him. And he did have a good performance. To be honest, I thought Salah would get the better of him for more than he did. I think Gabriel's a good sort of defender, but I think he's got the odd little error in him, I think, based on this season. But he played really well. But as a result of like Zinchenko going in with Henderson and Trent coming in this way, Martinelli did stay out here, to be fair to him, but it just opened up so many passing lanes for Salah. Ended up touching the ball so often. I think his average for the season, sorry, his average for his Liverpool career in the Premier League touches is about 43, I think, on a per 90 basis. His best for the season, I think, is maybe 53. Up until this game, he posted 67.
So it's a marked increase.
Real jump, yeah.
You're looking maybe 10, 15, 20% somewhere in that range, aren't you, of an increase in touches on his best.
Yeah.
Never mind on his worst. You're probably looking at closer to 50% on an average game there. And one of the things here is, we don't often talk about man-to-man marking. It's Leeds with a sort of under Bielsa, were one of the teams that went man-to-man, and it tires players out, doesn't it? It's difficult to do. Most teams defend zonally. Why do you think Arteta wants to defend in this man-v-man way?
Well, I will say that I think Leeds were kind of an exception in the sense that like it was genuinely man-to-man everywhere, and no matter where the players moved, they would stick them. Yeah, you would follow them. Whereas Arsenal are man-to-man, but it's a bit more flexible based on like where the ball is on the pitch and things like that. So if Alisson's first pass is out here, Saka will probably shuffle over to pick up like this man, and it'll come across like this type of thing. So it is man-to-man, more man-to-man than Liverpool, with a bit more like, you know, covering zones and spaces and things like that. but it's more flexible. It does allow Arsenal to remain like, you know, it's not daft. They're not like opening up massive spaces where Liverpool can just walk right through them, except for obviously the space Salah benefited from out here. And you've just got to think, if Liverpool, I don't know if Liverpool are going to keep this. That's one question for Klopp, really. If, you know, it's just going to be something that we see moving forward. But if it is, Salah's not going to face a centre-back or a left-back or whatever that's as good as Gabriel every week.
No.
So we should get a lot of joy out here, just like Saka tends to, Martinelli, Grealish, Mahrez. Those are four players there, really, that have all had really good seasons. And a lot of it stemmed from Arteta and Guardiola presenting them with like constant 1v1s because of this box midfield and the attraction that it brings players in.
Absolutely. One of the things I want to move on to then is, first of all, we've got to think about, let's say here for now that Klopp's decided that he's going to run with this and he might tinker with this between now and the end of the season. He's starting next season with this as the main sort of formation, as an example. Right, we're going to run with it. I'm not suggesting for a second that this is what Klopp's going to do, but if he was to do that, does it suit Andrew Robertson?
I would say no. To be honest, he reminds me a little bit of Kyle Walker and his nature in terms of just being an absolute marathon man up and down the flanks. And Guardiola actually said recently, because Walker's not been playing, Guardiola come out and basically said he can't play the role. He can't play the position. We need certain movements. It's more suited to someone like John Stones. And that's why Walker's out of the team. And I think if Liverpool had someone like a Guardiola, for example, or a Nathan Naki even, who can play as a left-back and can play as a centre-half, I don't know if Robertson necessarily be out of the team, because he is a key pillar of this Liverpool side, isn't he? But I don't think he's overly suited to tucking inside and playing as a situational centre-half. He's a lot more of like a attack and fullback, isn't he? We know what Robertson's like.
And this is why Arsenal play Ben White at right-back.
Yeah.
Because we know that when Zinchenko goes into the centre, Ben White tucks inside and he's a centre-half who can deal well with the outside space. It's why it kind of suits Konate. He's got the pace. Would we do it with Joel Matip in this position?
I think we could. Joe Gomez would be a good fit.
Joe Gomez would be, but it doesn't help us with the problem with the left side, does it?
No.
So you're asking basically, you're probably looking at, in the best case scenario, to fit Joe Gomez into the side, you play Joe Gomez, you play Ebu, you play Virgil van Dijk, and you don't want Virgil van Dijk over there. You want Virgil over here. So
yeah.
We need that sort of steady left centre half who's willing to go out there and do that job if we were to go and do it. Who else do you think could benefit from this? Because I'm looking at these number eight positions now. Mm. I mean, certainly Fabinho will benefit from having someone inside with him.
Yeah.
I think that's obvious. But in terms of lads in the squad, maybe lads who didn't actually feature in the game. Obviously, we used Kurt Jones, and I think he did well because we saw him in the final third because of this.
Yeah.
Does it suit Jordan Henderson to play this role?
I wouldn't overly say so, no. Again, if we're using Arsenal examples or City examples, he would remind me of Granit Xhaka a little bit. Xhaka's done it to a high level this season, to be fair, so he's done it quite well. But you wouldn't associate Granit Xhaka with posing a threat in the final third. And that's the same with Henderson for me. Henderson's better when he's covering. He's better when he's a box-to-box number eight, but primarily in the middle third. The reason this box midfield allows these two players to push on is because you've got the two sitters. So the expectation is for Curtis Jones to pick up the ball around the penalty box.
Henderson, which he did, and we scored from.
The box. Yeah, but Henderson, he just doesn't pose too much of a threat. He's not particularly creative. He's not the most technical in terms of tight spaces. But one player who could play that role is Harvey Elliott.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think he's well suited to that. And again, using Arsenal examples, I've said a few weeks back, haven't I? Elliot reminds me a lot of Odegaard. That's the role Odegaard plays. He pushes on as almost like a 10 for Arsenal when Arsenal have possession, creating the final third. I think this season he's got something like 7 goals, 10 assists, or 10 goals, 7 assists, one or the other. But he's right up there in terms of like contributions in the league. And I think overall, this kind of shape would benefit more Liverpool players than negatives. There's a few who suffer, like Robertson, for example. I'm sure we're going to touch on more now. But overall, I think Jones would benefit. Elliot would benefit. Salah obviously benefits. Fabinho would benefit, not only from the man next to him, but just from the box four in the middle. You know, you've got more players around Fabinho there.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Trent is a curious one. Do you think Trent benefits?
I think Trent could benefit, yeah. Certainly. I think, well, for a start, he was outstanding against Arsenal. Mm. You know, and I think he had one of his better games over the last couple of months. But I don't know whether that was down to the new position, or is he just had fire in his belly, or he's just pissed off because of Granit Xhaka, or it was a combination of all of those things. But certainly, you know, and this is why I think it's difficult in this particular game. Not everyone would have a man on him. And even with a man on him there, and all right, it's Granit Xhaka in this instance, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think he's done very well with it. Against a fella you would expect to be decent, because obviously he's always sort of played a bit more of a deep lying midfielder, so you'd expect him to throw a tackle in and all that type of stuff. That one-on-one battle, Trent Alexander-Arnold certainly won on the day. And Xhaka's underrated as a player. I think he loses his head and stuff, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I think he's proved this season why he's in that side. And, you know, they're at the top of the table for a reason. He's one of those reasons alongside the other front four.
Yeah.
So Trent Alexander-Arnold, definitely. And it gives me something to hang my hat on about him playing in midfield, because he literally played in midfield. And so anyone who's out there talking about, are we going to talk about Trent Alexander-Arnold in midfield? Maybe this is the Trent Alexander-Arnold midfield that we didn't see coming, but the Klopp's had in his mind for a little while now.
Yeah, well, if you think of players that generally tend to do this, there's obviously not many of them, but players who have been inverted usually tend to be really technical players who are not necessarily Duracell bunnies up and down the sides. But you think of like Philipp Lahm, Joao Cancelo, players like that who are really technical.
Zinchenko as well. Someone was telling me last week, I forget who was telling me, I don't think it was you, that when Zinchenko left Arsenal, they asked one of the Man City players.
It was me, yeah.
It was you, yeah? About who's the most technical player in the side, and they said it was Zinchenko.
You got asked who's the most technical player in the squad. Technical in a Guardiola team. And he said Zinchenko. Above like Bernardo Silva, Mahrez, Grealish. Yeah, that was Kyle Walker who said that, yeah.
Was it, yeah?
Yeah.
That's wild.
No, it's crazy. But I do think we saw bits of that at Anfield. I think, you know, he is a very, very technical player, and you can see why he did well for Guardiola. You can see why Arteta wanted him. And I think with Trent as well, one nice thing about this is obviously the Trent that we've come to know loves to pick up the ball around here, and he will take so many risks there. And a lot of the time he'll lose the ball. A lot of the times deliveries will go into the box and will come out. And one of our issues this season is we just haven't had like the safety net here to sweep those balls up.
Yeah.
If he's going to occupy these spaces a bit more, maybe he can have a positive influence on Liverpool's game in possession, but without being that kind of killer ball merchant who's just doing it every 5 seconds. And maybe this season's version of Liverpool, it's hurt us a bit more than it's benefited us almost. Another player as well, who we haven't touched on, who probably could play like a weird sort of role in this system, if needed, is Milner. Mm. Obviously, Milner, experience all over the park, but he's played as a left back for Liverpool and as a right back for Liverpool. Obviously, we know he's an eighth. So I could see Milner playing quite a role in this team outside Trent. If Trent needs a rest, obviously, he can't really become a starter, can he? But I think Milner's well suited to it, weirdly.
I don't, to be honest. You know? No, just because of his age and stuff, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm talking stylistically, though.
Stylistically, yeah. If you give me Milner 5 years ago, 6 years ago, absolutely. Yeah. I don't feel like, well, he wouldn't be an upgrade on Trent in terms of passion, to be honest with you. He's a bit more safe nowadays, isn't he? Not that he's a bad player in any way, shape or form, but if that's one of the reasons we're doing it, is to get Trent on the ball and get him moving the ball forwards, I'm not sure he's that much better than Fabinho at it. And Fabinho can move the ball forwards all right at times. So I probably wouldn't plan this system around him. If it wasn't Trent Alexander-Arnold, I'd probably feel more comfortable. Who would I feel more comfortable with?
It could only be Milner. I don't see any other player for Liverpool who could play as a fullback and move into midfield. I can't think of anyone.
Is there another position that you could do it with, though? That's what I'm thinking.
If I
was picking two players to play in these positions, forgetting you've got to move a fella from right back, right? I'm picking Thiago and Trent Alexander-Arnold as my two. So is there a way where you can get somebody else into this position? Do you know what I mean?
Not really, no.
So, like, right, we take it back, and I don't know whether this works, right?
Okay.
But
that's your 4-3-3.
That's your 4-3-3. Okay. Do you start with the three at the back? You start with Thiago there. You start with Trent there. You don't start in a 4-3-3. I don't think you can do it if you start in a 4-3-3.
Well, that's kind of the issue, though, isn't it? Like, if you're starting like that, that's your go-to system with and without the ball. That's quite a bold, you know, full-on Cruyff, Guardiola system, that. And I think Liverpool have the players potentially to do it in moments and that, but I don't think we have the control over the ball to do that. Guardiola City are so slow and so controlling that they can play chess almost. Liverpool are a bit more basketball, aren't they?
You'd have to have that as Robertson, and he'd have to move there, and Hendo would have to come back. That's the only way that I can see that you could do it.
Yeah.
And then you'd end up with a 4-2-3-1 instead of a 4-3-3.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do it with 4-3-3. But Thiago, without doing that, I don't think this system suits him. I don't think you can get him into this system without doing something a bit more nuts like that.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I think it's a tricky one, because his number eight role, the left-sided number eight role, has typically been, and we've touched on this previous weeks, like a controller, hasn't it? And he tends to tuck in deeper alongside Fabinho as the six, and maybe this right-sided number eight would go higher. But in this system, the left-sided number eight and the right-sided number eight are expected to do that. Thiago, for me, is the ultimate middle third player. So put him in the final third and expect him to do bits up here. I'm sure he could. Good player in that, but I would just prefer him back here. So the only way in which you could do that, really, with Trent doing this, is if he starts as Liverpool's lone six, without Fabinho in the team. And I think he's got those qualities on the ball, but without the ball, to have Thiago as your six on his own at times would be a concern.
I think he's a good tackler, and I think he can do everything apart from he's physically not up to it. And I think that's something that Jürgen brought into this side, is that he loved Fabinho for his height as much as anything else. You know, being that destroyer, but being that tall guy in the middle of the park, because you think about it on a footy field, and this always has baffled me, Josh. Like, what's the real difference when someone's clearing the ball and having a 6'4" lad versus a 5'10" lad on a 100-yard pitch or whatever? But it does make a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, the tall lads do get the ball more often, and it would just go over Thiago's head. Now, I don't know why that is, because it's that much in a huge pitch, but it always seems to be the case. So I agree with you there. I think Thiago, in terms of in possession, absolutely perfect. I wouldn't rule him out, much like you, playing in this spot here, because he's got those feet. You know, we saw it against Arsenal at the weekend when he comes on and he's here and he does that weird little flicky, flacky flick thing that he does, that he's probably patented or nicked off Ronaldinho, I'm not sure which, and he gets somebody straight in. Was it Trent he passed it to? I can't remember. So he's technically available to do that, but does he control the game there? That's my question, Mark, and I don't think he does.
Yeah, he can definitely do it. I think he's proven that he's ridiculous enough, especially on a technical side, to play in those tight spaces. There's no problem with that. For me, it's just more he's a master at, for a start, of helping with your build-up.
Yeah.
And if you've got him up here, there's your build-up there. So you're keeping him away from that, which he's very good at. And in terms of controlling the game, again, that's probably these two lads. Again, he's away from that. So I think he could play there. There's no issues with that. It's just, are you getting the best version of Thiago within this 3-2-5? I don't know. I mean, 3-2-5, there's no way you'd have Thiago in the five. It's just,
no, it's just not right. He's in the two.
Yeah, he's in the two. So,
but that, what a fearsome two. Thiago and Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because there's two lads who just go, no, we're playing that way. We're playing that way. We're moving over there. Quick pace, great passing. Yeah. The ability's there. If you can get him into the side, then maybe you're right. Maybe it is just a straight up. Thiago starts there, Trent moves across, they move into a thing. You've got your box midfield, you've got Harvey Elliott, you've got Kurt Jones or a replacement or something like that. He plays those little balls in. He's charged with doing that. He's charged with doing that a little bit more. And then Kurt Jones runs in, or somebody runs in and starts playing little one-on-ones or whatever there. That works, but that is just almost copying Arsenal.
That's kind of what we're doing, really.
But that's copying Arsenal. Josh, what's the fucking next thing?
I don't know.
Because if you're seconds, you're nowhere. Yeah. And these lads have got another season. Well, yeah, these lads have got another season on us, or two seasons, or whatever it is. Guardiola's been tinkering last season. I think it was a lot of that 4-4-2, wasn't it? Which turned into a mad 4-2-4, or a 4-6, however you want to look at it. This season, Arteta's gone this way. Guardiola's gone this way. Klopp's come to it right at the end of the season. You know, yes, we can steal a march, but... Well, what's the next thing? What's the formation that kills this?
Yeah, well, I'm not too sure, but I don't like the idea of kind of being a bit late to this, to pick it up.
Same.
To be honest, it's not a good thing. And to be honest, I think, I don't want to start these daft conspiracy theories and that, but I think this is more Linders than Klopp, if I'm honest. I think Linders is that type of coach to come up with more expansive, experimental systems. I think he's a massive fan of Guardiola, obviously, and he knows Arteta and things like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if this has kind of stemmed from Linders and Klopp has agreed and gone with it type thing. But the fact we are third to this behind Arsenal and City, I suppose, offers an insight into our drop this season, doesn't it, really?
Absolutely.
Because we were previously innovators in the way we were doing things. But now we've got to a point where we're almost looking for inspiration from the sides above us.
And that's not a good position to be in, is it? You know, in terms of, like, you think of it in the most basic terms. A few years ago when you know, teams started playing out from the back, we weren't the first, but we weren't the last either. You know, Manchester United were probably the last, and that was probably because of David De Gea holding them back a little bit more.
Still doing it now,
yeah, still doing it now. And, like, they've never really caught up.
Yeah.
After, you know what I mean? And you can see that really in sides. It's like lads who use data in football. You know, Liverpool, obviously one of the top teams for doing that. Manchester United started 10 years too late. Yeah. I know they're ahead of us now, but have they caught up in that department quite so well, or is he just picking players that have played with him at another football club and he knows they're good? Like, what is it really? It's not the data that's led them to Anthony, is it? You know, it's the manager.
I think this does just kind of capture, though, like, we did the Klopp's tactical timeline, didn't we, a few weeks ago or whatever, and I think this just kind of sums up how Liverpool are still just very much a work in progress, essentially, very up in the air. We've used 4-4-2, 4-diamond-2, this is a 3-2-5, 4-3-3 for lots of the season. Sometimes it's been a high line, sometimes it's been a little bit deeper. We've used so many different systems, so many different formations to get the most out of these players. And in terms of next season and how you maybe plan for a summer, one of the reasons Liverpool was so successful in so many windows under Edwards, for example, I think, is just because we had a clearly defined system.
Yeah, you know the profile of your player.
Exactly. And you can pick out, you know, okay, look at the 4-3-3, right, which area of the 4-3-3 is the weakest, upgrade that. And you add Alisson, you add Van Dijk, then you add Fabinho, and you just get better. Whereas at the minute, Liverpool obviously planning for, like, the biggest summer of Klopp's career, probably. and we have no real clue what the fixed formation is going to be next season. It probably will be 4-3-3, but you just don't know, really.
And that leads us on to the next show nicely, actually. I mean, we're going to do that on Redmen Plus, so if you want to get involved, use the code DEEP for 50% off for the first 3 months, kind of as a club captain. We'll be doing another show. We're going to look at Liverpool's squad in depth and detail. We're going to look at the contract expiry, the age of the players. We're going to look at the positions of the players and see if we can garner any insight from what we've done right here, scaling that over the squad, and seeing if we can spot any clues as to what formation we might be buying for and what positions we need most of all. And I'm not just, I know, midfielders, I know. Anybody could say that, but we're going to take a proper analytical look at it. So if you enjoy this show and you like what we've been doing on the Deep Dive, come over to Redmen Plus, use the code DEEP, and we'll see you over there. Thank you very much, Josh.
No worries, mate.
See you next time. Ta-ra.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.